screen, we're good to go.
Good morning once again.
Good morning.
Thank you for praying for me, Dan. I appreciate that. I need it. Past couple Sundays, we've been taking a broad look at spiritual warfare, this battle that we're in that we don't really see. The Bible very clearly points out, very explicitly, that there is a battle going on in this unseen realm we don't see. One real quick example, Gabriel coming to Daniel. I keep coming back to that because that's really the only one that really shows it really explicitly. But Gabriel's trying to get to Daniel for 21 days. There's an evil spirit withstanding Gabriel. Finally, Michael, one of the chief princes, the archangel, comes to help Gabriel. They break through. This shows us there's levels of power. There's levels of strength in this created order that we call angels. A couple of weeks, we've really been looking at the person and the work, the schemes of Satan, this angel we call Satan. That wasn't his name originally, but that's how we refer to him. I want to look one last time at him, and then we're going to get away from him, which is a good thing. Turn to Jude, book of Jude. In this area of strength and power. Jude, we're just going to look at the one verse, Jude 9. But Michael the archangel, when he disputed with the devil and argued about the body of Moses, did not dare pronounce against him a railing judgment, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." It seems from this that Michael the archangel was not powerful enough in and of himself to stand against this angel we call Satan. Not original with me, but it seems that this angel, Satan, is the most powerful creation that God created. And we need to keep that fact in mind when we are dealing with this. And what is the fact that we need to keep in mind there? Somebody? Anybody?
God is great.
That God created this angel. He may be powerful. He may be the most powerful angel in the angelic realm. But God created him. And as Armin pointed out a few Sundays ago, greater is he that's in us than he that is in the world. We overwhelmingly conquer how? Through. Let's look at that. Romans chapter 8. We overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. We looked at Ephesians 6 earlier and stand firm in the strength of his might. But Romans 8, we'll look there for a minute. This is the good stuff, by the way. I say we're going to get to some good stuff, and we are now for a minute. And then we're going to go back. But Romans chapter 8 starts at, we'll start at verse 31. We'll just do that whole little passage because it's a great passage. Romans 8, 31. What shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who's against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ is he who died, yes, rather, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or the sword? Just as it is written, for thy sake we are being put to death all day long. We were considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing, I like that part, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We can overwhelmingly conquer because we are God's people, and the Holy Spirit dwells in us. And so, and that passage there, it pretty much covers it all, you know. There's not... God's there, and he's on our side. One more passage to deal with this. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and start at verse 14. 2 Corinthians 2:14 said, "Thanks be to God who always leads us in his triumph in Christ, and through us spreads the sweet aroma of the knowledge of him in every place. For we are a fragrance of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the one an aroma from death to death, to the other an aroma from life to life. And who is adequate for these things?" And then a few verses later, Paul says, "Our adequacy is from God, not from ourselves." The concept here, this triumph in Christ that we are being led in, Christ triumphed over death, the grave, hell, Satan, the whole thing. He is the victor. And God, the idea here, God is pulling us along in this train of victory because of our relationship with Christ. And through us, then, we preach the gospel. And this starts that passion we talked about, Paul's dealing with the new covenant and the gospel and his ministry, the ministry we're in. And we're being led along in this train of victory because of Jesus. And so we have that in us, available to us. And that's where we have to stand. We have to stand strong in the strength of his might, not in our own. Our adequacy doesn't come from us. It doesn't matter how eloquent of a speaker you are, how strong you are. Our power comes from our relationship with Jesus. So that is Satan. We should never be cavalier about this. He's powerful. It's the enemy. They're waiting to fight us. But we should always rely, go back and rely upon what God has done in us, through us, and for us. So, yes?
Can I give two verses?
You can.
Revelation 12:11-12. "They overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony, and they did not love their life even when faced with death. For this reason, rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has come down to you having great wrath, knowing that he has only a short time."
Amen. And again, we talked about that. I myself think that's going to come in the future when he's going to come down. But you can disagree with him. There was a thought that was going there, and it's gone now. So I won't even go. Well, I won't try and find it. No, it was coming off of what you were reading, but I slipped it because I started thinking about something else. So, in America and the world this week, I know there was good things that happened. I know that the angels rejoiced in heaven this week because a sinner repented and came to know Jesus. There are people who passed and went on to their heavenly reward and got to see Jesus. There's good things that happened, you know. There's also things that happened in America this week that I actually asked a couple of people and said, don't even talk about it. It's stuff that we go back to Jeremiah, where they were offering their babies to demons. And God says, not only did I not command them to do that, it never entered my mind for them to do those kind of things. That's the kind of stuff that was going on in America. So don't even talk about it. But there was some things going on in America that directly relates to what we're talking about. I get my news from about four different very conservative news sites. Okay. And a lot of times they report on things that the mainstream liberal media does not want to talk about, because it kind of throws a bad light on people that are on their side, and they don't like that. I'm going to get a little political. I have a list of everybody you need to vote for here if you need it. No, I don't really. We're not going to do that. I don't campaign for nobody. Judge Kavanaugh. Everyone was aware of that circus that went on, okay? He's confirmed, and I'm glad he was. I wrote this down. I copied part of this article, so I'm not going to wing it. "A large group of witches is meeting in Brooklyn this month to place a curse upon Judge Brett Kavanaugh, quote, upon all rapists and all the patriarchy which emboldens, rewards, and protects them. Approximately 1,000 people have said they will attend the sold out event." So you can't get your tickets. It's already sold out. "Which will also be live streamed on social media. A quarter of the proceeds will be donated to who do you think? Planned Parenthood. A quarter of these proceeds from these witches gathering that 1,000 people have bought tickets to go participate will be donated to abortion giant Planned Parenthood. A hex, and this is what they're putting on Kavanaugh, they're going to put a hex on him, is distinguished from a binding spell. And a binding spell prevents someone from doing something and limits his ability to act. A hex, she said, and the she is actually a man who identifies as a woman witch. And so, yeah, anyway, she said, a hex, she said, is a more direct attack that engages its target in supernatural fistfight. Casting the spell entails a lengthy incantation calling on spirits and, quote, demons of the infernal realms. Okay, this is going on in Brooklyn. I didn't even see what date. But this is what's going on in the area of spiritual warfare. And it's happening today in America, all over the world too. And I didn't realize, but I found another article that February of 2017, this group of witches started meeting to put a binding spell on President Trump so he could not accomplish any of the things that he wanted to do. And they meet regularly to keep this going. And so the spiritual battle is going on. There's other people besides us who actually believe in demons, and they're calling upon them to fight against us. Trouty, did you have something? I mentioned this to someone. They said, boy, they weren't very good at what they were doing, were they? Because, and this is where I'm going to get political for a minute. Thank you for that. That leads into what I want to say. Turn to Genesis chapter 12. And by the way, I looked at my time when I came up here. And we had like 28 minutes to go through 4 hours of material. So, Genesis chapter 12.
Listen fast.
Well, I took some classes one time to be a speed talker. You know, those guys that talk like 1,000 miles an hour. But I want to slow down today. Genesis chapter 12. Now the Lord said to Abraham, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to a land which I will show you. And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Do you think that God has reneged on that promise to Abraham? Do you think he's recanted that promise? No. I believe when God says something, he's going to do it. We looked at King David when he took a census. That's in, I think, Chronicles. But David, being the king of Israel, represented the nation. Okay? He sinned. God sent a plague as judgment through the land. People were dying. Finally, David stands up and says, Lord, it's me that sinned, these sheep. You know, he was confessing and repenting and humbling himself, and God relented. For whatever reason, and it's probably a good reason, the leaders of your country represent your nation. Okay? So if the leaders of a country are doing something that should bring judgment, is God within his rights to judge that nation and punish that nation? We elect the people in Washington, D.C. They represent us. Now, I don't know if you like Trump or dislike Trump. Don't know if you voted for him. It doesn't matter. Okay? I have liberal friends, people that aren't Christians, and they all know that I see the world through a biblical lens. I look at it and go, oh, how's the Bible look on that? Okay? So, President Trump, even though he tweets too much, is moving the U.S. Embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem in support of the nation of Israel. Okay? So, for me, my leader right now, my president of our country, is blessing Israel. Okay? That's a big one for me. You know? when we start standing behind Israel. Nikki Haley, she was the ambassador to the UN. She's retiring from there, and I was looking at an article, and I mean, Netanyahu, the prime minister, the leaders of the army, the ambassadors, they're all on there saying thank you for being a friend to Israel during your time at the UN. You'll always be loved here in Israel. So we have these people in leadership right now that are blessing Israel, helping Israel, supporting Israel. That's good. We'll go back to the previous administration. We'll use names, whatever. It's history now. Barack Obama refused to even meet with Netanyahu when he came to America one time. Okay? He was busy. How can you be so busy that this friend that we have in Israel and the prime minister comes, you're too busy to meet with him? The UN ambassador at the time, when the vote was coming up to boycott Israel over the Palestinian mess, and these UN ambassadors, they don't just vote their conscience. They have meetings with the president and his cabinet, and they're told how to vote. They voted present, okay? They weren't standing and blessing Israel. It's basically a no vote when you vote present. And so that boycott and embargo went through. And And this is one I don't even know about. This is really a weird one. The last day of his presidency, while Trump was being sworn in, they were trying to send $250 million of our tax dollars to the Palestinian Liberation Authority. Okay? This is Obama's administration trying to sneak that in. Luckily, it was caught, and the funds were not sent. But the PLA is that group that will pay millions of dollars to the families of suicide bombers who go in and blow up Jewish people on buses and at restaurants. And so when these people do that, then the Palestinian Liberation Authority pays the family money. This $250 million, if it would have got there, would have paid for a lot of suicide bombers. So, in the upcoming election, since I'm not an official voter, I can get political, we need to vote and look at people who are going to bless Israel and to stand for this promise that God said, I will bless you if you bless it. Question. Chronicles says, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, I will forgive their sins, and I will heal their land. So, is that a promise for us today, or is that directly for Israel? Throw it out there, question. I mean, what do we think?
It's to...
Huh?
I believe it is to Israel.
Says you do. Okay. Go ahead.
There are other places, though, that essentially say the same thing that is applicable to any person of God.
Yeah. At that setting, Israel was going off into sin, and God's saying, if you turn to me, I'll bless you. For me, this is why I come. Peter says that you are a people, you're the people of God, a God's own possession. So if we're God's people, we're chosen by God, it seems like if we would humble ourselves and pray, then God can come in and heal our land. If we're supporting Israel, we're blessing Israel, we're doing the thing. But it may have been strictly for Israel at the time. I like to think that if we as God's people will humble and pray and our leaders would straighten up, that God could get back and bless our nation. Go ahead.
For anybody who wants to chase it in the future, Jeremiah 18, 6 through 12, Ezekiel 33, 12 through 16, will essentially say the same thing, but to any nation.
Jeremiah.
And that's why I answered you the way I did.
Oh, 2 Chronicles 7:14 was where I was.
Correct.
Yeah, okay.
Jeremiah 18:6 through 12 is essentially going to say
the same thing.
The same thing.
And that's a promise for
widespread.
Widespread. So, still, if we humble ourselves and pray, because we have it on authority there. And it's true. I mean, you have to look at these because there are specific, the text and the, you know, everything.
There are a lot of Christians who believe in this thing called replacement theology, and they don't consider Israel supporting they don't consider that. They consider the church as a new Israel. Anyway, and I think that's all wrong.
I've had
new problems.
Yeah.
They voted, they have to have a coin, a silver shekel coin, and they put Trump and Cyrus on the silver shekel coin.
Yeah. All kinds of things going on. So, that was just a little side thing there. With the political thing and the witches and all of that, because it deals with the spirit that's working in the son to disobedience. We don't have much time, so your homework for next week, we're going to be looking at demons, okay? And we just saw these witches are calling for demons. We're going to be looking at, by the way, what do demons do? One of the things demons do, and if you've read the book of James over the last couple of weeks, you'll know one thing they do. They believe in God and they tremble. Okay? But James says, oh, you believe there's one God, you do well. The demons also believe and they tremble because they know what's coming up for them. The Bible, to my knowledge, doesn't say how someone becomes demon-possessed. It's just not there. But we see in Scripture, especially in the Gospel, that in Jesus' ministry, he came up against a lot of people who were possessed by evil spirits. And we're going to look at those starting next week. We don't have time to get into it now. There was something else there. There's so much that I want to talk about, and I'm going to have to be a little more organized here because I have a lot of stuff in my mind going on. But next week, let's look at this idea of demon possession and how we take care of it. Yes.
Well, our church gave out a book at the Oregon Country Fair called The Light That Was Dark.
Light Was Dark, right.
And that didn't really talk about possession so much as oppression.
Oppression. I've mentioned that I myself have never come up face to face in all my years of being in church in a long time with someone that I knew was possessed by an evil spirit that you knew that was there. The oppression, the influence, I've come up against people that I feel that were, they had this spirit that's working in the sons of disobedience, evil spirits that were influencing them. And one real quick, I don't know if I've shared this before, Sharon and I were doing a mission work down in Honeydew, which is a very dark area. And I had, before I'd met a lot of people in the valley, I'd went down to the post office, which is the little Honeydew general store. It's the store, the gas station, the post office, all wrapped into one. And a lot of people would set out on the bench in front. So I drove up in the van to pick up a package that had come in the mail and it was sitting on the porch. And some lady sitting there, some woman, said, hi, how are you? And I said, I'm doing fine. And so, haven't seen you before. No, I'm kind of new in the valley. And I started to get the package. She said, well, is that your package? And I said, well, yeah, it was actually for the mission. And she said, the mission? And I said, yeah, my wife and I are up on the hill at the mission. And she said, where the cross is? And she come up out of her chair. And I mean, immediately from, hi, how you doing? It was foul language telling me to just, it was night and day on her. And it was this, she realized that I was a Christian, that I was living where the cross was, and she didn't like that. And I just felt this, something came upon her just to change her attitude toward me. And I believe that was that area of spiritual warfare there, that what they realized that you're a Christian, it's like, ooh, you're open game. But anyway, next week, look at some of this. Go through the Gospels and look at where Jesus came up against these people that were possessed, and good news in that, actually, when we look at that, though. Comments, questions, anything? Boy, okay. Lord, thank you that we can rest in the fact that you are our salvation, that we can truly be conquerors through you who loved us. And Father, help us in these trying times. Help us truly to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. Help us to stand firm in your spirit to help us through this. And we just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.